To turn your Bibles to Job chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 25 and 26. Please stand with me out of honor to God and His word as I read. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Thank you. You may be seated. Looking this morning at My Redeemer Lives. My Redeemer Lives. Now, one of the most iconic statues of Jesus Christ is actually found in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, and it's called Christ the Redeemer. And you've probably seen pictures of it. I'll show you a couple here. This is Christ the Redeemer. It looks like he's holding up the moon there, doesn't it? Christ the Redeemer, really strong there, I guess. But some other interesting pictures, Christ the Redeemer. Even when you're Christ the Redeemer, you need some people to fix you. Look at that. There are people that climb out. This statue is on the top of a mountain. It's on a pedestal. Then it's 100 feet above that. Those guys come out of his arm, his shoulder, his head, and they work on him and fix him up. I wouldn't do that. Now, of course, I'm a pilot, and so I like pilot pictures. Well, here's one. Here's a pilot trying to imitate Christ the Redeemer. Look at that. With his wings, trying to show. And in this next one, Christ the Redeemer, there's a helicopter, and I can't tell exactly what's going on here. On the one hand, maybe Jesus is welcoming the helicopter, or maybe he's getting ready to crush it. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like the helicopter there. And then if you ever went parachuting with Christ the Redeemer, might look like this as he's coming in, Obviously, that's somebody parachuting behind the statue, but it looks like, I don't think that parachute would actually be big enough to land Christ the Redeemer there. But the idea that I'm getting across to you is this idea of Redeemer, redemption. We talk about it. We sing about it. We know the Christ Redeemer statue. You've all probably seen that somewhere along the way. And so today I want to look at My Redeemer Lives, and what does that mean? By way of introduction, Job mentions his Redeemer. He said, "I know my Redeemer lives." A redeemer is one who provides redemption. That's what it is. A redeemer is one who provides redemption. You say, "Brother Gary, you're not allowed to define a word with the same word." So what is redemption? Well, redemption is deliverance by the payment of a price. That's what redemption is, deliverance by the payment of a price. Now, this was required in the Old Testament when one was poverty-stricken and had sold something, then wanted to get it back. And so you're out of money. You don't have enough money to make it through the week. You don't have enough money to make it through the month. And so you sell something. Sell something you really want. And you want it back, but you can't buy it back because you don't have any money. So the redeemer, this relative, would buy it back on your behalf. So a relative could purchase on behalf of the original owner. The relative was known as the kinsman redeemer. Kinsman being related. Kinsman redeemer. In Hebrew, it's called Goel. G-O-E-L is how we'd spell that in English. The Goel is the kinsman redeemer. So the redeemer is the one who pays the redemption price. Now, in the Old Testament, a relative was the redeemer. But in the New Testament, Jesus is the redeemer. So how do we make that connection? If it's a relative that's the redeemer, how are we related to Jesus? Well, this may shock some of you to find out. He's our brother. He's our brother. Look at the writer of Hebrews 2:17. "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God." It's talking about Jesus became a human. Jesus became one of us. We just came through Christmas, where we celebrate the incarnation, where God became human. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. He's our brother. We share the same Father. We share the same flesh. We even share the same future. Look at Romans 8:17. "And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Indeed, by grace through faith, we are the children of God. Jesus is the Son of God. We are the children of God. Look at John 1:12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons," or the children of God, "even them that believe on his name." Now, redemption is a recurring biblical theme. In the Bible, individuals could redeem people who'd been sold into slavery. Individuals could redeem livestock. Individuals could redeem property in order to pay a debt. And so individuals could do this. They could redeem people. They could redeem livestock. They could redeem property. But in the Bible, only God redeems Israel. Only God redeems Israel. God promised that. Look here in Exodus 6:6. Before the children of Israel leave Egypt, wherefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. God promised it, and then God delivered in Exodus 15, verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. God not only promised it, God not only delivered it, but later on God reminded them through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. God promised it, God delivered it, God reminded it, and then God repeated it in Jeremiah 50 and verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. While individuals, people could redeem other people, livestock, and property, only God redeems Israel. Only God redeems sinners from sin. Only God redeems sinners from sin. Why do we need to be redeemed? Because we've sold ourselves into sin. Look what Paul writes here in Romans 7:14. We know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We have, through our sin, we have sold ourselves to sin. We need to be redeemed. And only God redeems sinners from sin. God, through Christ, purchased our forgiveness with his own blood. Look how Paul puts it in Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Yes, God, through Christ, purchased our forgiveness with his own blood on the cross. And Peter picks up on this theme in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain behavior received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Only God redeems Israel. Only God redeems sinners from sin. Only God redeems people from death. Only God redeems people from death. Look how Hosea puts it here in Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. And so redeem, redeemer, redemption. These are words we throw around. These are concepts as Christians and in church that we talk about all the time. And we don't even talk about it. We sing about it too. We sang several songs a day about redeemers and redemption. And there's lots more. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. There's a song, a hymn in our hymnal called Since I've Been Redeemed. There is a song I love to sing, Since I've Been Redeemed. There's a song called Blessed Redeemer. Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Or Christ the Lord is risen today. We often sing this one at Easter, but the second verse says, love's redeeming work is done. Or how about to God be the glory? The second verse says, oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of God. And so that's your introduction to redemption, redeemer. Again, it's very familiar to us. And back to Job. Job says, I know my redeemer lives. What kind of redeemer did Job have? Well, first of all, he had a familial redeemer. A familial redeemer. In other words, related to him, family redeemer. A redeemer acts on behalf of another person. And as stated before, the word redeemer, as Job uses it here, is a kinsman redeemer, a family member redeemer. But a kinsman redeemer didn't just purchase their family member out of slavery or just purchase a piece of property on their behalf or purchase, some item or something for them. The kinsman redeemer had many obligations under the Old Testament law. They would revenge the kinsman's murder. They could purchase the kinsman from slavery. They could pay the kinsman's debt. They could conceive the kinsman's children. They could clear the kinsman's reputation. The kinsman redeemer had lots of obligations. And Jesus, as our brother, he fulfills the obligation of a kinsman redeemer on our part. Whereas sin kills us, Jesus gives us life. Whereas sin enslaves us, Jesus sets us free. Whereas sin indebts us, Jesus pays our debt. Whereas sin alienates us, Jesus adopts us. Whereas sin shames us, Jesus clears our name. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. And the Apostle Paul says that for us In Ephesians 1:7, where he says, in whom, talking about Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus is our Redeemer. He paid the price for us with his own blood. Remember when I said before, I said, what if you don't have money? What if you don't have money? And by the way, money could never pay anyway the price for our sin. Well, you need Jesus. He paid the price for us in his blood. The writer of Hebrews in 9:12 puts it this way, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, in addition to everything else that redemption is a common term from the slave market in New Testament times. Redemption means liberation at a cost. There is a cost involved to the one who liberates. There is no cost to the slave. When somebody liberated a slave, that cost the person that did the liberating, but the slave had no cost whatsoever. Redemption is a free gift. The slave's only obligation was gratitude toward his liberator. And once purchased, the redeemed could be kept or set free. But it's interesting when we talk about Jesus as our Redeemer, he both keeps us and sets us free. It's not either or. Jesus doesn't say, well, I'll either keep you or I'll set you free. He keeps us and he sets us free. He frees us from our sin. As Paul writes in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, he frees us from our sin and then he keeps us as his own forever. Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He sets us free and he keeps us forever. So how can we respond to our great Redeemer? How can we respond to our great redemption? Just like the slave in the New Testament slave market, by offering thanks, by being grateful. What else can you do? There's nothing else we can do. But we can give thanks for our great salvation. We can give thanks for our great Redeemer. We can give thanks for our great redemption. Indeed, that's all we can do. And so what kind of Redeemer is Job talking about here? Well, a familial, a family Redeemer. Secondly, though, a personal Redeemer. Notice Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. Not his Redeemer, not her Redeemer, not that Redeemer. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. Job's wealth had failed him. Job's health had failed him. Job's friends had failed him. Job needed some personal help from a personal Redeemer. And he says, I know my personal Redeemer lives. God is a personal God. And Jesus is a personal Redeemer. He's a personal Redeemer. He's a personal Savior. You see, we cannot merely know facts about God. We cannot only know facts about Jesus, but we can know God in a personal way. We can know his son Jesus in a personal way because God is a personal God and Jesus is a personal Savior, a personal Redeemer. And Job recognizes that God would redeem him personally. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. There's that song we sing, it is no secret what God can do. God's redemption is for all who believe. And that song goes, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. He'll do for you. God's redemption is for all who believe. And Jesus is our personal Redeemer. Now, his redemption is particular, not universal. What I mean by that is just because Jesus died on the cross, just because Jesus paid the redemption price, that doesn't mean everybody's forgiven, everybody's going to heaven. His redemption is particular, not universal. Now, don't misunderstand, his redemption is sufficient for all, but is effectual only for those who believe. And so you must believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must believe in Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. Just because he hanged on the cross and just because he provided the redemption price, that doesn't save anybody until it's received personally. Because God is a personal God. Jesus is a personal Redeemer. There's another Southern Gospel song I love. It's called "He's a Personal Savior." And the chorus goes like that. He's my personal Savior. He's mine, I know. I love Him so. He did my soul a personal favor. That's why I'll tell it wherever I go. You see, each person must receive Jesus as personal Savior and personal Redeemer. How? You must believe that Jesus died for you personally. You must believe that Jesus was buried for you personally. And you must believe that Jesus rose again from the dead for you personally. That's where it gets personal. Not just this fact in your mind, oh yeah, I know 2,000 years ago some guy named Jesus, he died on a cross, he was put into the tomb, and he came back 3 days later. Those are just facts. Those are impersonal facts. But once you understand that Jesus died for you, Jesus was buried for you, Jesus rose from the dead for you, then it becomes personal. So what kind of Redeemer did Job have? Well, he had a familial Redeemer. He had a personal Redeemer. Thirdly, he had a visible Redeemer. He had a visible Redeemer. Job states that he will see God in his flesh. Notice this, verse 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And notice verse 27, he repeats himself, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job states he will see God in his flesh. Now, Job expected that his redemption would come later after his death. How do I know? Look what he says in verse 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, he said, I'm going to die. I know my Redeemer lives, but I'm going to die. This body is going away. And Job couldn't say goodbye to his body too soon. Why? Well, if you know the story, he lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He ends up with these sores all over his body. They're itching him. And he takes a broken piece of pottery and he's scraping himself. He's in such agony. He wanted to die. And let me tell you, I can identify with Job here. When our older children, when they were born, they didn't have the chickenpox vaccine. And so what you did was you got your kids around other kids with chickenpox so they'd all get chickenpox. So my daughter comes home from school, and she's got chickenpox. And like any good father, I looked at her, I saw her chickenpox, and I began to laugh at her and make fun, you got the pox. Well, then we put our son with our daughter, made sure they played together so he'd get it. And sure enough, within a day or so, he had it. And like any good father, when I saw he had it, I said, you got the pox. Next morning, I'm in the shower. And around my midsection, I'm noticing some bumps that are itching. And I'm thinking, no way. So, of course, I call Mom. Mom, I had chicken pox when I was little. Oh, yeah, you had chicken pox. Nothing to worry about. Well, these chicken pox began to get worse and worse. And I don't know if you ever heard about an adult getting chicken pox. Like, it's one thing kids, sometimes kids get it really bad, but most kids just kind of get a mild case. But when adults get it, it's bad. And I got it bad. It was all over me. And I was in such agony, literally, I wanted to die. So I placed another phone call to Mom. You sure I had chicken pox? She said, you know what? No, you didn't. That was measles and mumps. You never had chicken pox. Well, I had them now, and I wanted to die. Seriously, I was in such agony. I just wanted to die. I was ready. I mean, you know, spiritually, I was ready then. I'm ready now. But I don't feel like dying right now. But I felt like dying then. Anything to make the misery stop. So Job said, look, I know I'm going to die. I'm right on the verge of death right now. I have nothing to live for. My family's gone. My wealth is gone. My health is gone. And I can't stand this much longer. I know I'm going to die. Job expected his redemption would come later after his death, but Job believed he would live again. He believed he would live again. He said, worms are going to destroy this body, but in my flesh, I'll see God. Job envisions a personal resurrection. Now, you need to understand, this is unique. This is amazing for the Old Testament. The Old Testament says very little about life after death. The Old Testament says very little about resurrection. There's some little hints here and there, but Job hits the nail on the head. He knows he will be resurrected. He will see his Redeemer with his own eyes in his own flesh sometime after he dies. Job knew he would see God, his Redeemer, with his own eyes. By the way, we too will see Jesus, our Redeemer, face to face. Paul talks about that here in 1 Corinthians 13:12, where he says, for now we see through a mirror darkly, but then face to face. We're going to see Jesus. Each one of us who's a believer in Christ, we're going to see Jesus face to face, eye to eye, with our own eyes. Even if he comes long after we die, we will see our Redeemer with our eyes face to face. And we even sing a song about that. In fact, the name of the song is Face to Face. Face to Face with Christ my Savior. Face to Face, what will it be? When in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. So what kind of Redeemer was Job anticipating? A familial Redeemer, a personal Redeemer, a visible Redeemer, and lastly, an eternal Redeemer. Job states that his Redeemer lives. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. Job was in a bad way. Job needed somebody to act on his behalf. And Job knew that God was alive and well and would intervene in time. He didn't know when. He expected to die first. But he said, I know my Redeemer will intervene on my behalf. God is eternal. And God's redemption is eternal. And so it doesn't matter if our redemption comes in this life, our redemption comes after this life is over, because God is eternal, and his redemption is eternal. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, he lives as well. Oh, he did die. Absolutely. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, but he rose again from the dead. So we can say too, my Redeemer lives, and he is now alive forever. Look how John puts it in Revelation 1:18. Jesus speaking, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. What's Jesus doing now? He rose from the dead. Is he doing anything now? Yeah. He is personally mediating on our behalf in heaven right now. Paul reminds us of that in 1 Timothy 2:5. He says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Right now, he is in heaven mediating on behalf of all who have put their faith and trust in him. And just as God provides an eternal redemption, Jesus provides an eternal redemption as well. You see, when Jesus forgives you, your sins are forgiven forever. This is not a temporary transaction like we're talking about from the Old Testament, a kinsman redeemer that maybe buys you out of slavery temporarily or buys a piece of property back for you temporarily, because if you continue to mismanage your affairs, you're going to end up selling it right back or selling yourself right back. Those were all temporary transactions. Jesus doesn't do temporary transaction. He provides an eternal redemption, an eternal transaction, so that our sins are forgiven forever. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and he forgives you of your sin, it's not only for now, it's forever. And as a result of being forgiven forever, we will live forever. Paul writes in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer. And so this idea of Redeemer, redemption, we throw that word all around at church all the time. We sing about it. We talk about it. Maybe you never really thought about it. What is it? Who is it? A redeemer is one who pays the redemption price. And redemption is deliverance by paying a price. Jesus is the redeemer. Now, Job had faith. He said, I know my redeemer lives. I have faith because I know my redeemer lives. The question I have for all of you, do you have a redeemer? And do you have the faith that your redeemer lives? There's only one redeemer. He's Jesus Christ. And he's all these things. He's a familial redeemer. He's a personal redeemer. He's a visible redeemer. He's an eternal redeemer. But until you receive him for yourself, he's somebody else's redeemer. He's not yours. But the good news is he can be yours by grace through faith in him right here, right now. And then you can say with faith and you can say with confidence, just like Job, I know my redeemer lives. And he lives forevermore. If you're here today, and you don't know if you have a redeemer or not. Or if you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't have a redeemer. Don't leave here without a redeemer. Let me rephrase that. Don't leave here without the redeemer, Jesus Christ. How much is it going to cost you? Not a thing. But once you've been redeemed, once you've been saved, once you've been forgiven, then it's time to say thank you. And not only say thank you, but to live a life of gratefulness and service to the one who has redeemed you. If you're here and you're redeemed, may you praise the Lord. If you've never been redeemed, may today be the day you experience his eternal